welcome to episode 86 of Fly Away, a weekly podcast from Outlander Travel about the thing we love most, travel. Each week, we'll talk about different adventures and vacation options out there, some local, some more exotic. Join us as we chat about our own travels and those of our clients. Hopefully, our talks will help you dream, plan, and get out there. My name is Sandy, and this week, I'm joined by fellow Outlander travel agents, Elizabeth and Lindsay, and we are once again joined by our engineer and editor, Heidi. You may have noticed recent stories in the news about long lines at airports. I am talking really, really long lines. There were even reports in May of travelers having to spend the night at the airport in Chicago because flights were missed. So what is up with the TSA? This week, we wanted to talk about some reasons for the wait and some things you can do as a passenger to keep the effects to a minimum. So let's get started. So
what is up with the TSA?
What is up? So I did a little research, and it looks like it's a combination of a few things. So one of the things is they have less TSA officers, and travelers are up. So pretty much the ratio that the officers went down, the inspectors, the travelers went up. So long lines. If you listen to your congressman, you probably believe that it's the airline's fault for charging for baggage. So that's one of the things that they think would help. But it is like, it's people, you know, just long lines, people getting through, not having enough manpower, really. I mean, and then you've got summer travel gearing up. You've got inexperienced travelers. So well, there's a couple things going on.
Yeah, it's actually a real thing too. It's not, I think it's really easy to get to the airport, see the line and throw your hands up and think that it's some conspiracy or whatever. I mean, I guess it is a conspiracy in the sense that they don't want to pay as many officers to, you know, but there's been cost saving measures put in place and that there's consequences to that. Just like anything else, anywhere where you cut a budget, you'll probably notice that the budget's been cut. So, it isn't necessarily ineptitude. I'm not going to say that every now and then something isn't.
It was bad. The Chicago episode, though, they had to bring out cots and people, you know, were in line for 3 or 4 hours and stuff, flights, spending the night in the airport. I mean, that is nightmare scenario.
But also it's one situation, you know, I've seen other airports where the lines have been super long, but you can get through them. I think the key thing is you need to allow enough time. Sandy will be very happy to hear me say this, because Sandy likes to get to the airport like 3 days before her flight to make sure she does not miss it.
Yes, she does.
She will be at my house honking the horn. Hey, we're leaving in 2 days. Let's get there. We don't want to miss it.
We gotta park the car.
But you do. You need to get there early and maybe a little bit earlier than you have been getting there. And I know in my own airport, you should talk to other travelers in your area who travel in and out of your airport frequently to find out. Because one thing that I know Sandy and I have actually seen, we've witnessed it happen for those early, early morning flights. You know, your flight leaves at 6. And so you think, oh, I'll get there at 5 because nobody else will be there. Okay, you're not the only flight that leaves at 6. And they only have 2 TSA guys there because it's freaking 5 o'clock in the morning. And I cannot tell you how many, I mean, we saw person after person literally miss their flight because they were standing in line and TSA will not let you go. You can ask somebody in front, but you know, if you get in front of too many people, it makes you suspicious and then you get to be searched.
And
so
too, when we say TSA, I mean, we're talking obviously domestic we're talking about the United States, but security in general, when you go to another country, you have to really pay attention to how long you're going to need to get through their lines. When I was in Spain, somebody told me a minimum of 3 hours and I kind of poo-pooed it. It was 3 hours. And there was actually, when you get to the desk at the airline in the terminal, it said it is a minimum of 45 minutes from here to the next check-in. And it was 45 minutes. So there's a reason a lot of this has put, you know, if you can network some way, whether you're reading on TripAdvisor or asking your travel agent, you know, what's the scoop? Certain countries have real security provisions, but at least France is another one.
Yeah, especially now. Well, and Amsterdam has this different belt system where you are given an individual pod, and whatever you need to put onto the belt to go through the machine, you go through this one individual stage. So it's very easy to get separated from the rest of your traveling party with that, especially if you have a ton, you know, if you've got your belt and your shoes and your laptop and if you've got a ton of stuff to pull out, and you need more than one bin. If you're one of those people who at the airport take four bins, it's going to take you that much longer because each bin gets fed automatically and you have to wait for the belt to then carry the next one away. So it's not like here where you can just put your four bins down on the belt and, you know, all next to each other and have nobody touch you. You actually, your stuff has to go through sort of when you're, when you've loaded your tray.
Which actually comes back to packing.
So here, I thought of you whenever I read this because I do think there's something to people not checking their bags anymore because they're bringing a ton of crap with them on the plane because they don't want to pay the baggage fees. And I think one of the reasons we get through the Southwest terminal so fast is because you check your bags because they're free, you know? And one of the things Lindsay and I did, and I've done this before, is we used the Skycaps outside because we went in. Even though it was 6 a.m., you know, the line to check bags was pretty long. So we just took the guys, you know, and then, and went on. But, yeah, so, I mean, I think that that's something people don't realize.
Well, I think it's something you have to think about. It's probably not the time to wear your thigh-high lace-up, metal-shanked.
You know, as cute as they look.
Where your high heels look like guns.
Right? Just, yeah, exactly.
You know, it's amazing, too, because anywhere else in life you go, you dress to prepare for the climate, for the scenario, and this seems to be the one area we all collectively have an issue with remembering what we are going to the airport and then.
Yes.
And therefore going to have
nobody
to wear your
take stuff out of their pockets.
Yeah. And incidentally, my pro tip, and I think we've all made a mistake at some point along the way. Like, my husband constantly has a water bottle in his carry-on. It'll be left over from the time before he Well, we won't talk about Sandy's expensive water bottle that I had to take care of for her because she was, like, at the terminal. And they're like, is this yours? I'm like, no, it's hers. Catch her. No, you can take care of it. I'm like,
don't throw it away.
He walks away. I'll get you a bagel. Anyway, I was wearing a sequin shirt, and I didn't think about it, but that little machine where you stand with your... It's all light-based. And the guy, when I got out of it, I mean, basically, I was a big white blob. They had to wand me because the light just reflected off of all the sequins, which is the point. I wanted to be sparkly, but I wasn't thinking about that machine, right? Okay, right. I'm not that stupid. They're smirking at me over here. But it was just a sequin shirt. It just had little sequins on it. It wasn't tons of sequins, but it was enough that in that machine, I just lit up like a Christmas tree. And so they had to wand me. And the guy was like, that was really the wrong shirt to wear. I was like, yeah, I see that now. So, and there have been times where I'm about to travel and I pull it out and I go, oh no, I can't wear that one.
Yeah.
Well, actually, TSA has a blog and the moderators are actually kind of funny. They have a good sense of humor about themselves on the blog and they have really good resources on there of exactly like that. Don't wear your sequin shirt, dummy. Don't wear your spiked boots or just
your jeans with the 50 million bedazzled metal things on the pocket.
Even your diamonds. I mean, you know, a little bit is okay, but if you're wearing something really blingy, I say diamonds, but if, you know,
anything.
Plastic, glassy jewelry.
Or, you know what, something that drives me berserk is, it makes the rounds periodically on social media, this bundling method of packing that they show where you fold in the legs and then the arms and you end up with this giant, dense bundle of fabric. Well, they're not going to like that.
They're going to pull it apart.
They're going to pull it apart because they can't see into it if it's that dense. And when they pull it apart, are you going to be able to get it back together?
This
wonderful bundle that you have, you know, put together. So, I mean, I think it does go a long way being paying attention to what you're packing and what you're bringing. That being said, if you have global entry or pre-check, you're going to get a little bit of a perk and not have to take out your cosmetics and your take off your shoes and your laptop and your electronics.
So let's talk about those trusted traveler programs because that's one of the things that TSA for a while was letting random people into the TSA pre-check line to kind of let people know this exists and look how cool this is and you want to do this, but people weren't signing up for it. When they stopped doing the random stuff, they had nowhere near the amount of people signed up that they had anticipated. So I think we should give it a little plug. I think it's a good thing.
I would sell my cats for it.
That's serious.
It is so worth it.
Now you have global entry.
I have global entry, but it's only $15 more than getting pre-check. There is an interview component that goes with global entry above and beyond getting the pre-check, but it's worth it because when you come back through a country, when you come back into the country and you have to go through immigration and customs, if you have a connecting flight, sometimes those lines in immigration are really long, mm-hmm. and you can be cutting it really close.
But you do have to still pick up your luggage if you don't have.
You still have to do all the same things. You just get through, well, not all the same things. Yeah, because you're getting scanned.
You go through immigration first with no baggage, and you put your fingerprints down. It's biometric, and it recognizes it, and then it prints you out a receipt. And either, as long as there's not a big X on it, you sail through customs. So after you get the receipt, you pick up your bags, if you have a bag, and you literally walk to the front of the line if there's one. And you just...
So to give an idea of time frame, I applied for Global Entry mid-May, and here we are. I mean, this will air a few weeks after we record it, but it took about 2.5 weeks to get the approval to schedule my interview, which was beginning of June. And then when I went to look at what was available in North Carolina, which I live in Raleigh, but I was going to have to drive to Charlotte, it was September before an interview was available. Mm-hmm. So luckily, you can actually go anywhere. So if you have another trip coming up, I had a friend that did it in Montana, you know, so... I'm going to be in Pittsburgh.
Oh, God.
And so I'm going to do my interview while I'm in Pittsburgh next month. So
Where's that going to be?
Airport in Pittsburgh. So it's going to take me, you know, so that whole process took a couple weeks, and then we'll see how long it takes to actually get the card if we're all approved and everything looks good. So I'm excited, though, because, you know, the pre-check thing comes along with the Global Entry, like you were saying, and it's not that much more, and it's for 5 years.
And just to review, the differences here, TSA pre-check is for domestic travel only. So basically, it does give you sort of a fast pass through the security line for domestic travel.
It's actually not for every airline. Some airlines don't do it.
Right. Actually, Southwest was not participating at the very beginning of things.
I don't think JetBlue does.
Carriers don't,
don't participate. So also, if that's another airline where you won't get the pre-check, you won't get a random pre-check. Trial thing. But Global Entry is for international travel. Mm-hmm. So that's the key difference. And TSA PreCheck is a little bit less expensive and does not involve as strenuous an interview. And there are more locations where you can get it. You can actually do it. I mean, if you've got a long connection in an airport, many airports have the office right there, and you can actually just do the whole thing right there. And basically, what you're doing is you're giving them your identity information and letting them run background checks and all that on you so that you can be considered a known traveler, and you're given the known traveler number, and then you can attach that to your tickets when you buy your airline tickets.
And they do it right in the interview. So like, they're asking you questions, you know, pretending to be kind of nonchalant and being like, so, you know, where do you travel most out of the country? And, you know, what do you do when you're there?
When was the last time you had a DUI?
Right. I mean, they're actually pretty cool about it. And then they give you your known traveler number, and it's already coded in your passport. And then they tell you, when you leave here, you go home, and every frequent flyer program or whatever you have with all your airlines, go and put your known traveler number in right away. Mm-hmm. Because that's what's going to get you the benefit of the pre-check. Right. If you don't put that in, you don't get it.
Then if you travel to Mexico a lot, or you travel to Canada a lot, there's Nexus and Sentry, mm-hmm. and you can ask your travel agent about that, or you can look it up. It's an alternative version of Global Entry that can be a good substitute, but it's important that you either live really close to Canada if you're going to do the Canadian one, or you travel there a lot, because you will have to interview in Canada for that one.
And you drive. Yeah, so it's you get a special lane going through driving in Canada.
Yeah, but it also uses Global Entry as well, the Canada one does. So there are different options, and they are at different price points, and they last for more than 1 year. It's 5 years for those. So it's a good value investment, especially if you travel a lot.
So let's break down for people who don't travel very often, and we don't want to intimidate people to not book a flight, because it shouldn't stop you. But if you don't travel very often and you're going to be going through security, what do you need to know versus if you have TSA pre-check? I know we kind of rolled through it.
So the first thing I want, versus pre-check or?
Well, let's say what you need to know you need to do, but if you had pre-check, you wouldn't have.
Okay. So I think I see where you're going. So my bugaboo, I'll let Heidi talk about the 311 bag, because I actually don't carry any liquids with me in my carry-on. I feel like it's just not important. So anyway, I'll let her talk about 311. I will talk about laptops because this is the thing that bothers me the most about the security line people in front of me. We all have electronics. We all have a million electronics now. The only thing you need to pull out of your bag is your laptop or a larger electronic piece. If you have a CPAP machine, if you have a, like one of those nebulizers that has a motor, you know, ka-chunk, 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 if it makes like a lot of noise like that, or has a, if it has a fan, basically, you need to pull that out. So the two things that I see is people pull out every, like, you know, their phone and their iPad and their Kindle and their, you don't need to pull all those littler ones out, just the big boys. But the other problem is people don't pull out that CPAP machine. They don't think about it. So, and you should have it in your carry-on if you are going to need it. I mean, it's, if you have a medical device, you need it in your carry-on, but you do need to pull that out. So don't forget, because then we'll go back through and they, and those sorts of things do scare them a lot. Because when they see something with a fan, they do not know what that is. And yeah, it's super scary. Take it from the girl who went through security with a VCR one time. Don't ask, long story, but it didn't go well. So that, and if you're at TSA pre-check, you don't have to take your laptop out of your bag. Mm-hmm. So you want to talk about 311?
Well, I mean, 311, if you're flying and you don't have pre-check or global entry, then you get a 1-quart bag with 3 or fewer ounces in each liquid that you carry. And that includes anything. So if you have peanut butter or jelly, and it's not just cosmetics, anything that is considered quasi-liquid, if it could flow.
Or mini alcohol bottles.
Mini alcohol bottles.
Yes.
A bottle of water, for example.
Yeah.
It's got to be under that, I think it's 3.3 ounces. It has to be in that bag. If you have pre-check or global entry, you don't take your liquids out. You leave them in your suitcase. If you do not, then you have to take them out and let them be visible to the screener.
Yeah, so if you don't have pre-check, you keep that at the top of your bag. Because
yes.
That's the other thing.
Yes.
I see is people dig in.
Yes.
For that
put
bag.
It in a compartment. I put it in like the outside zipper part of my bag. So I can just pull right out.
Yeah. It's the same with the shoes. When you go through pre-check, you do not, if you have TSA pre-check or global entry, you do not take your shoes off.
Or your belt.
Right. In a lot of instances, not even your coat.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't have one of these trusted travel programs, and you're going to be taking off your shoes, taking off your belt, taking off your coat.
And, you know, Heidi joked about the lace-up boots, but...
it's for real, though.
We see it all the time.
All the time.
Yeah. I mean, people just don't think about their shoes when, you know, they want to look cute, which I respect. But yeah, you need those shoes to slip off quickly and get back on. And I mean, even sneakers can be sort of a pain, but I tend to fly in sneakers, but you know, I'm ready to slip them off and then I'll, at the end of the line, I'll untie them and retie them. So
and
you want to be quick with that.
Another thing I see all the time that people don't think about is they think, oh yeah, change, no metals in my pockets, no anything in your pocket.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you have a piece of paper,
or your driver's license,
boarding pass folded up, that's
going
to clog up the whole works for you and for everybody else behind you, because now you got to come back out and take that out and stick it in your bag. So just the big thing, just do a self-check. You got all that time standing in line, put everything out of your pockets, put it in your carry-on, put it on the tray, and then push it onto the moving belt. Because you're not supposed to touch anybody else's bag, but it's every time the person in front of me walks away and their bag is just,
it amazes me how trusting people are too. They're like, I'm just going to walk away from this bag because there's lots of security guards around.
Right.
And you know, people have had things stolen off of the belts. And I assure you, it's not always the TSA guys. I mean, I'm sure there is a corrupt one out there here and there, but it isn't. It's the, and people walk away from their stuff. They don't pick up all their stuff.
Yeah.
You always hear calls, you know, if you left your passports at security, it's like, how did you leave your passports at security?
Well, that's the kind of thing I check over and over.
Yeah.
I did something really stupid. In my last trip, I brought vanilla protein powder in a plastic baggie.
Oh,
which,
white powder?
Right.
I don't feel nearly so bad about my sequins now.
It was with the oatmeal. And so they pulled me, and I said to the guy, I've never been pulled before. And I said, I know what you're looking for. He's like, ma'am, you cannot touch your bag. As of right now, I can only touch your bag. I said, I know what you're looking for. The vanilla protein powder is in the bottom left corner.
It smells delicious. Trust me.
I would be happy to taste it for you.
I went to a spa conference once, and we got to make these little goodie bags of, like, bath stuff that you put in your bath when you get home. And so you're layering in all these powders and, like, these little crystals. Ziploc bag. And then the chat room blew up the next day. I got stopped by.
By the way, that actually reminds me of another little thing. One of the best things to do when you go to Jamaica, or actually anywhere, but when you go to Jamaica, you buy a bottle of rum, right? Because that's what you do in Jamaica. Or, you know, you go to the duty free shop and you do that on maybe in the airport. And so you have to remember, if you have already been to security and then you buy your bottle, when you go through customs at home to change planes, you need to move that bottle of expensive rum into your checked bag.
Except some airports have started to allow you to not do that.
Really?
But they're not being consistent.
Yeah.
So there's a sign. I know that have posted pictures of these signs that say, if you have bought it in duty free and it's a sealed bag, you are good to go. And then other people have said, it works about half the time.
Yeah, I wouldn't trust it.
I would not trust it.
I would not trust it, especially if you paid a pretty penny for that.
Yeah. To me, coming back from Puerto Rico, the other thing to be aware of is that some of them will tell you, they'll tell you it doesn't count against your allotted items, but some of them will tell you it does. I got stopped and told it, the first time ever I've ever been stopped with a duty-free bag, and they said it counted against, and she's like, you have to check something, and I'm like, here.
Yeah, they did have duty free stuff, and we were allowed to shop in it.
But it's part of the U.S., though. So they must treat it differently.
I don't usually shop in those places, but nobody questioned me, and I bought coffee.
And there are lots of places in the world where you can buy Cuban cigars. Yeah. Don't think that you can bring them in just because you bought them somewhere else. For the record, you need to smoke those puppies.
You can now. Lindsay, how many can you bring home?
You can. You can bring $100 worth of cigars home.
Cuban cigars.
Cigar.
Yeah. From Cuba.
Yeah, but I'm not flying.
Thank you, Obama. Yes.
I'm sailing. So, I don't know.
Well, when I was in Costa Rica, which was only a couple months ago, I was told that you could not bring them into the country.
Yeah, they just did it, very recently. Okay. I just changed something.
I know a lot of people would be happy for the rum. Mm-hmm. That's from there.
Mm-hmm.
The Vatican
rum.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah, that's on my little checklist. If I can hold nothing else.
It's delicious.
So there is one more thing I want to mention, and it's not really TSA. It's more coming through customs. But there is a new app called Mobile Passport, and it is to get you through customs. And basically, if you don't have global entry and anybody tries this, I want to hear how it goes, because I'm like, what should I just have done this? But, but basically you take your picture with your phone and you declare all your stuff, and you don't have to stop at the kiosks, and you don't have to print out the form, and you don't have to fill out the form on the airplane or whatever. So, just another little tip. You can look it up. It's called Mobile Passport. Yeah, I've heard it's pretty new. And I think there's only a handful of airports that do it, like Miami, and I'm not really sure of all of them, but you could look it up on the government website.
So to sum up, though, I would like to say that all of these frustrations with security, a lot of that comes down to attitude as well. And the more impatient you are, first of all, the more it makes you look like a target, and you will be held up longer because you're being a jerk. But also understand that not everybody travels every day. And, you know, if anything that we've shared tonight makes you go, oh, that would make my life easier, just think there are probably, I don't know, a billion other people who haven't heard this podcast who didn't necessarily think about the fact that they were wearing sequins or a sparkly shirt, or that they tucked their driver's license into their back pocket before they went into
smuggling an archaic piece of electronics.
Yes, a VCR. Incidentally, it wasn't archaic when I did it. It was way before 9/11, but it still was a problem back then. You still couldn't do it.
Learn from our mistakes.
Yes, exactly.
Also remember, the people who work at TSA are people. They're people just like us. And if you had to say the same thing over and over again all day long and watch people over and over again not listen to you, you might be a little testy. So have a little patience with it. Everybody's in the same situation. We're all trying to get through the same exact line. Everybody's in the same scenario you are.
Yeah. I honestly can't. Every time I look at the people who are watching the X-ray machine, and I think I would go mad. I would go mad if that's what I had to do every day.
Actually, I do want to bring that up. The X-ray, like, I used to call it the naked X-ray machine, because when they first came out, people were freaking out.
I was actually talking about the one that belts. Like, not the person one, but yeah.
Yeah, but do you guys know anybody who who opts for the pat down instead?
My sister, because she has a defibrillator in her chest.
Really?
So she has to. Yeah. And it causes total chaos. And when you're in another country, if you do have a device in your chest.
So my mom has a pacemaker.
Okay. But... bring a card.
Okay.
It will help you a lot if you can show that international card. If you can't, you're fumbling for the word for defibrillator in Spanish and trying to explain that she has a machine in her chest and that she needs a manual screening.
And it's another thing that confuses people. I had thought about this earlier and then I forgot to say it. When you have small children with you, a lot of times at least one parent and the small children will be guided through the old fashioned, booper machine. You know, the one that
like the ones they sent to all the stadiums.
Right. Exactly. So, so if you don't have children with you and you're wondering why people get to go through that, usually it is, and sometimes they allow both parents to go through. Sometimes they just say pick a parent and the other one has to go through the scanner. So if you see that happening, and it will have, you know, often wheelchairs, things like that will go through there as well. And then a wheelchair will often be scanned again.
Manually. What happens with global entry?
And I don't know.
Or pre-check.
Well, so it, everybody in the family has to have it.
Yeah, up to above age 12.
Right.
Yeah.
So there are, so we did discover that if your children are under age 12 and you have pre-check, they will probably be allowed to go through pre-check with you.
And global entry, I believe. Look it up, because my kids are older than that, so I kind of blew past that. My dad doesn't apply to me, so yeah, I would definitely.
But there have been times, and I have children who are under 12, and I got the TSA pre-check lottery. Yeah. I got it on my boarding pass, but nobody else got it. And I could not go. I mean, I could have gone to pre-check, but then my family would have had to go on through without me.
Which they would have been like, jerk.
I considered it. It would have been fun.
I would have. I would have been sitting over there tying my shoes.
Been fun. Yeah. Not for my husband. It would have been fun for me.
All right. Well, that is our show for this week. We welcome your comments and feedback on this episode or any episode, really. To leave comments, visit us at OutlanderTravel.com and then click on podcasts at the top of the page and find the episode you wish to comment on. Or you can like us on Facebook at facebook.com/OutlanderPodcast or just search for Fly Away. Or you can email us at info@OutlanderTravel.com. We would love to hear from you. On behalf of Elizabeth, Heidi, Lindsay, and myself, Sandy, thank you for joining us at Outlander Travel, and we'll see you next week. Gotta fly!